Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think you could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Torn and Keel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast. The Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast. Or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, thoroughly recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. Hi, I'm Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Day 5 of Techno Games 2001. And we have an explosive start to the event as we have the two heats for the internal combustion sprint.
Yeah, boy, here we go. The big bad boys are gonna go at it.
So we start off with Sprint Fish, which looks like something out of hell. It's this weird looking thing. And it's made by the team that made Spikosaurus?
Yes, I knew I recognised them. Yeah, it just kind of looks like, I don't know, a leaf blower or something.
I mean, he does like his horrifying creature. So not Spikosaurus, not him.
Spikosaurus.
Oh, Wheelosaurus! No, Spikosaurus is the one I like. Wheelosaurus is the one that looks terrifying.
Yeah, and it's probably the one that I arguably like more.
Yeah.
But obviously only one of them won the Annihilator, so...
Yep, absolutely. Its opponent is... In case you didn't remember who it was, it's clad in the appropriate fur. It's Ulysses.
No, in case you didn't remember, Ed Hall walks up to the team and goes, oh, your faces that some people recognize, and... They felt the need to go, yeah, we're from Robot Wars. And it's like, yeah, we know.
Except they did it with an Irish accent instead of whatever the fuck that was.
I think we've established through all my podcasts, I can't do accents, okay?
I, as a DM, I also know that I can't do accents. So this robot, now it is implied, I'm not sure which one, it's implied that one of Sprintfish or Ulysses has been built with Robot Wars in mind, with the weapons stripped.
Yeah, that was something I took a note of. So after the match, Martin Smith talks about, I think it was specifically Ulysses, and it's like, oh yeah, Ulysses and Mistruss, they've been built for Robot Wars, but they've just taken the weapons off. And it's like, are you trying to imply that that's Deator?
Well, I don't know. It could explain why Deator maybe wasn't that ready for Season 4. If they were actually working on Ulysses and then at the last minute realised, no, we'll have to use Deator again. I'm wondering if something like that.
It just kind of sucks that they never got to use it. I think this would be absolutely hilarious as like a walking battle between the two of them.
And We have, on top of this, we also have a robot that actually did fight in Robot Wars.
Yes.
Which is Miss Struts.
Struts.
Which is as effective at walking in this as it is in Robot Wars.
Why is it that probably the... What's the word I'm trying to look for here? The person that's the most well-known for building walking robots is just really bad at it?
I don't know. And it's not even that. They went backwards. The first Mr. Struts was faster.
Yeah. And that thing was gigantic.
Miss Struts very slowly walks. A sprint fish falls over.
Sprintfish actually really impressive for the first 3 seconds that it moved.
Yeah. And Ulysses thinks it's in the swimming because it ends up grinding its face against the wall.
I'm trying to figure out what Ulysses actually looks like when it walks, because it reminds me of something, but I can't quite put my finger on what.
I love at the very end when they actually go full power for like 2 seconds, and it goes it looks like one of those cartoon characters. But their feet are moving, but they're not.
It looks like when you stand on a bit of Lego, when you're walking and you stand on a bit of Lego, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, 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 oh.
Yeah.
It's the way that, like, the kind of, it almost looks like the shoulders go up, so it kind of looks like, almost like a character from, like, a 1960s, like, Disney cartoon, where it's like, they're walking, but like as they're walking, their arms are going up and down, and their shoulders are going up and down. It's like, do, 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 do.
Yeah. So, despite the fact that it veered off to the side, Ulysses sets a new record.
A new record!
Of 51.62 seconds.
Seconds. Jinx.
As they talk to Alison Kerbersley, who is a professional sprinter.
And actually one of these few celebrities that they get on that actually has bants.
And actually engages with it. I do love as well, we haven't really mentioned it that much, because we don't tend to mention presenters as much. I think Jane Middlemiss does a fantastic job, and I think it's a shame that you don't really see a lot of her in these shows, because she's really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those... If she was in any other series, apart from the two where Philippa Forrester appears, she would be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, she knows what she's talking about for the most part.
Yep.
When she brings up stuff and can fill in, like, and actually have a conversation about, like, robotics and that sort of jazz, whereas... Ulrika Johnson was just kind of like, well, that was certainly a thing that happened, wasn't it?
Yep.
And then when Noel Sharkey would talk about stuff, she'd just go, uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, there is one more thing. Apparently, Sprintfish did finish the course in 3 minutes, 8.54 seconds.
Well, that's nice.
And the Struts didn't.
That's worrying.
Again, it's back to my question of
how is the person who is the first person to have a walking robot was not managed to progress? Maybe because they'd already figured out, no, let's do proper robots instead and come up with the cutest little thing in the world.
And then only make one season.
Which I find that's one of those. No, they were around for ages. No, they weren't.
Oh man. This is the Spikosaurus thing all over again, where I was convinced that Spikosaurus was around for at least multiple seasons. You're like, yeah, he was only in season 4 and then he was gone. And I was like, what are you talking about? You're a fucking liar. Oh my god, you're right.
So Spikosaurus aside, we have the second heat, which has the defending champions to come see, who have new radical feet.
Ugh.
And also two jobbers, one of whom is made by the team that made Exterminator.
Ah. Yep, you have Dave the Tortoise and Don't Walk on the Grass.
So Dave the Tortoise, which was made by the Exterminator team, it actually is smaller than some of the battery-powered sprint robots, which I find incredible.
Yeah, it's very weird looking at this and seeing like something the size of Tecumseh and Ulysses, and then seeing something like Dave the Turtle that's just getting engulfed.
And Don't Walk in the Grass on the Grass, which is Satan's lawnmower. It has two lawnmower motors. So, what?
You're not wrong. Even Satan needs to cut grass every now and again.
Yep. So the actual race, Tecumseh is very lucky that of the other two, Dave the Tortoise gets lost and starts trying to mount the wall. It thinks the wall is a very attractive lady tortoise. And Don't Walk in the Grass is super, super slow.
And then Keda breaks down near the end.
Tecumseh, it looks like what's happening is every time it puts pressure on its foot,
it shatters.
It slides.
Yeah, like I remembered the big stupid spring feet, and it's like, why did you ever think that was a good idea?
Well, even they seem to realize that they effed up.
Thankfully, they realized.
Which fair play to them. But Tecumseh is the fastest, so it's Tecumseh versus Ulysses in the final. And I have to be honest, I'm disappointed that this wasn't the last event they showed, because this was awesome when we get to it. Spoiler alert. But that race is...
It's arguably the best things out of the entirety of Techno Games.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, we do have the high jump. I'm going to give this as much deference as the episode does. So I'm not even going to let you speak, because it's that quick. I actually blinked and missed it the first time.
Ah, well, don't blink.
So, there's two robots that enter. The first one is the Patriot, which kind of looks like Viper. The first time it jumps, it fails. However, it doesn't do as badly as Meng the Merciless, which is a bottle that they're pumping, and it's the two most excitable young little boys operating it, and then they knock it over as they're pumping it up, and then they just run away and go, ah! And then they get disqualified because the robot's dangerous.
Yes.
So, you've had a terrible looking jump, and a jump that's dangerous, and then finally Patriot actually does something proper at the 7.35 metres, which would be great if it wasn't for the fact that someone's hit the ceiling.
The people that own that building would probably be if they go up there and they see dents from where where Viper has just bounced off of it.
So that was the high jump, and we've actually probably spent longer talking about it now than it's featured in the episode.
The Ming the Merciless thing is fucking hilarious, though.
It's hilarious, and then when you say it's been disqualified for being dangerous, is that, yeah, yes.
I mean, I get that it can be kind of disqualified for being dangerous, but it is just a plastic bottle filled with air.
I think it's more the fact that quite clearly, considering that they're basically pumping up a high projectile pressurized gassed jumping mechanism, the fact that they quite clearly seem to think it's a joke and they're running about daft and giggling, I can see why that the judges will, no, you're not doing that.
Yeah, I suppose, like, probably more the logic of the fact that it fell over. It's like, if that thing was to take off, it probably would be an inconvenience to somebody for 10 minutes.
Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is Techno X with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of the Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. Next we go to Japan, and we meet a security robot that looks like a Dalek and can operate elevators and haunts my nightmares, and this thing scares me, and I keep seeing it in my mirrors.
I've actually started titling this segment Julia in Japan, so from now until the end of the season, I will start calling this the Jidge.
Yeah. So, it's a nice wee segment. It's kind of why they couldn't have bumped this together with a second section and then just moved on is beyond me. But
it was an interesting robot to watch, though.
Oh, like, it was an interesting robot, absolutely.
The fact they can use the elevator was, like, really interesting.
So, we'll get on to the swimming.
Yeah, speaking of interesting robots.
Right, we'll start with the normal heat, which is heat 7. So you've got K-9000, which is quite obviously based on K-9 from Doctor Who.
I love him.
Oh, he is good boy.
He's a good boy.
As opposed to Flog the Frog, which is covered in, its eyes are bottles and it's covered in tinsel.
Yeah, and it's just kind of all held together by tape.
Speed, which looks like a boat.
And Speed 2 instead of a bus instead of a boat.
Yeah, absolutely. Armless, which is a small box. And Jemima Paddle Duck, who looks like a rubber duck, but wrong.
It looks like a duck that is kind of acting as if it's a hen.
Yes.
It looks like it's roosting on top of eggs or something, I don't know.
I mean, ducks do roost. Any bird will roost if it's got enough eggs. It's actually awesome. See if you ever get a chance. If you get a broody hen, put an egg in front of it, and it's awesome to watch.
Or is it just on it?
It just looks at it and goes, yes, and it starts to move itself and pull the egg under itself. Now, we've mentioned a few times the robots that would be really, really quick if they kept in a straight line. K-9000 keeps in a straight line, and it blitzes the time.
It's a good boy. It gets a new record.
21.91 seconds.
Absolutely outstanding.
Which is nearly half the time of the previous record.
Uh-huh.
Then we get to Heat 8.
Yes.
Right, we'll get two... Right, there's two normal-ish robots, which are Swimble, which is made of recycled material, and Robocod, which is a giant fish.
Yes. Actually, a very good-looking giant fish, I must admit.
We also get Brutosaurus, which is basically a giant version of K-9.
Yeah, and a very cute design.
And normally would be the creepiest thing here.
I like him.
However, we have two robots that are horrifying.
Yeah.
So first we get Erica's body parts.
Oh, so we're going in that order. Yes.
Which is...
It's a beheaded torso.
It's like the front of the mannequin torso with arms that kind of flap. And most of the time, that would be horrifying enough. But one of its opponents is Mr. S. Wim, which is a corpse. It looks like a corpse. It looks like it smells like a rotten corpse.
Which also doesn't have arms or legs.
And I put already, whoever wins, I lose. And to be fair, one of those two horrifying robots, Erica, is actually quite good.
Somehow.
Except for the... Sorry?
It's... The thing with Erica is... I don't think it's good in terms of what it's doing. I think it's just good in terms of it's so goddamn light that it's probably moving because of the amount of waves that have been made by other robots.
And it ends up... It actually ends up in the unfortunate thing, the same thing that happened to the shark in the previous episode, which is... It ends up behind an opponent it was level with and ends up effectively pushing. So it's Brutosaurus ends up behind and Brutosaurus gets the win.
I love Brutosaurus. It's just like la 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 la
la la la la la. So that was the swimming.
And again, to go back to something we mentioned earlier, Erica probably... only took about maybe, 45 to 50 seconds to...
Yeah. Would have actually been fairly quick and probably would have beaten... would have been enough that it could have qualified for the semi-finals fairly easily.
Yeah, but instead XLR8 is there and that took, you know, 5 times the amount of time.
Then we get to the battery-powered sprint, and this is...
This was a dismal set of sprints.
So, the first four robots are Streaker, which is a tortoise box.
Great name.
Gorillabot, which is the robot I was supporting, mainly because one... the two kids that they had presenting the team were both in wheelchairs and seemed really happy to be there. And yeah. Two, it was a cool idea. It was basically like it was moving like a gorilla does without any back legs.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Critter, which is basically Scuttle if you describe Scuttle to someone that has no understanding of mechanics. And
Crazy Critter is Scuttle if you put a pencil in Gorilla Butt's mouth and then describe Scuttle and yes. Told it.
And Geezer Bird, which is, it's a bit like, and we've seen a few other robots like this, like a Hungarian Horntail. It's yes. Basically a ladybug with two arms that it drags along the ground. And technically speaking, Geyser Bird wins this, crossing the finish line at 5 minutes 34.
Yep.
Except, what happens is that it keeps veering to the right, and one of the team keeps picking it up and turning it back around, which means it gets disqualified.
Which kind of sucks.
I can understand it, and it's fair, but it does suck. Also, at the same time, the one that does qualify is Crazy Critter, which breaks down partway through the course and seems to be strong. Now, admittedly, it seems to actually be capable of steering. So it does stay in its lane, which is more than Geyser Bird does, but it is a bit...
Geezer. Geezer. Like an old person. Which I don't get the name of whatsoever, but nevertheless.
So, then we get to the second heat.
Yes.
So,
as if that wasn't bad enough, we get to the second heat. This one has three people in it? Three walkers?
So the three walkers are Take Two, which is a four-legged robot, which has had the slight problem of when they tested it in chains, it didn't work, so they've changed it to belts at the last minute.
Ah, perfect.
Which is exactly when you want to be making a major mechanical change. Mr. War King.
I don't like it.
If Napalm was a walker and then had a horrifying head stuck on the top of it.
If Napalm was a... this is... Oh my god. This is the demon spawn birth child of Napalm and Banshee.
Or Tintrin.
Yeah, it was a three-way. The two of them did just spit roasted Napalm, and then that's what came out.
So, finally we have photophatophobia.
What did they forgot to turn on?
It's a box with teeth. So, what ends up happening here? Take Two goes backwards.
Yeah.
Walking creepily and eerily decides that being the result of a freeway, it is very horny.
Mm-hmm.
And it walks back and sits on top of photophatophobia.
Fatophobia.
That.
Walking, walking about like me at 4 a.m. on a Saturday night.
Yep. And then finally they turn on
PF,
that one. And what then happens is it starts to move
and wrecks the shit out of the...
Yes! What on earth are they doing? It's ripping bits out the floor.
And the thing is, like, in later heats, you can still see those marks on the floor.
Yes! Oh. And it somehow... it drags itself far enough up that it gets the win in its category by getting... literally, if you'd got... there are some robots in this heat that if you just stood them up and had them fall over... they would actually get further than that robot.
There are robots that have still completed the course in second and third place.
Yeah.
that have actually completed the course, which is something more than Photophatophobia did. And he's not the only one that's going to advance by not completing the course.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll move on
to another event that does not translate well to TV.
Now, I actually do have... The one issue I do have with this is the format. I think the formatting of this is a real shame. So, this category is the rocket cars. And see, the second they said rocket cars, was it? Yes, yeah, yes, please. Yes, this is what we should be doing with rockets. Unfortunately, because the distance of the course is like 20, 30 meters.
Uh-huh.
The races last 2 seconds.
Sometimes not even 2 seconds.
Yep. So, wobbly-wheeled wonder takes on Zippy. Zippy's the slower one, taking 2.29 seconds. So 2.229 seconds. WWW finishes in 1.4 seconds.
Yep.
Next one Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's literally nothing to talk about these other than the actual results, because that's all there.
So Lightstorm defeated Red Arrow 1.8 seconds to 2.4 seconds. Lightning wins the only actual close race, which is 1.38 seconds as opposed to Skagi. I can't pronounce that one. Cicery, which I don't have a time for.
Cicergy was 1.673 seconds.
So.
But the thing is with this one, I genuinely thought that Cicergy actually won. Because it looked like it, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, Lightning won. And then they all blew up at the end of the course anyway.
Well, that's the thing, because they actually show Lightning hit the wall and blow up. Or I think it might have been Sessionity. It shows one of them blowing up. And what then happens is that Lightning and Lightstorm
are the only two that get to go in the final, because they're the only ones that then blow up.
Yes, because the robot that was second fastest and the robot that was third fastest blew themselves to pieces.
And I'm going to assume that maybe that was the case of they only brought one of those.
And you're kind of going, why would you then have... If it's a race where there's a high likelihood that robots are going to hit the wall, which they must have had some idea was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
Why would you then have a second race?
Either make the track longer, do it outside, or, I don't know, maybe at least try and have, like, something to protect the impact.
But anyway, so we have Lightning wins with a time that is 0.07 of a second faster.
A new record!
Which means we have a world record of 1.329 seconds. For your gold medalist and the only robot to get below 1.4 seconds.
Boom. Congrats. There's one part where Noel talks about this event and how interesting it is compared to the leg robots.
I mean, it would be... I'm sure it would be awesome live. It doesn't quite work on TV.
It was just more the fact that he said leg robots as opposed to walking robots.
Yeah. Anyway, that is the end of day 5 and the end of our first week.
Woo! Week 1 in the bag.
Woo!
Get off and be back next week.